The summer of 1999, I think that's right, 88 and 89. Internship, right? Yeah, 88 and 89. I always got to check. We were out in Pacific Northwest, Mount Vernon, Washington. And that summer of 89, yes, we went on a Mexico missionary trip. It took about a half week to drive down, a half week to drive back. I mean, that's a lot of miles going all the way through California. We were in Baja California, Mexico. The Vincent Guerrero Orphanage, I believe, was the name. And it was amazing, the kids that we met there. And just, you know, they didn't have anything. I mean, they're orphans, and they came from nothing. They didn't have everything. But when they met Jesus, the good news preached to them, and they believed, they had everything. And they just sang their little hearts out. Alabare, 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 mi Señor. It just kept going on and on and on. I was caught up in this joy. And I'd sing the rest of it, but I don't remember it. But that beginning part, though, their little voices, it was unbelievable. And at meal times, they would have the different kids, you know, one different kid pray before pray the blessing. You know, 100 people or more in this big room, and so they'd pray. And then you could hear, Señor, gracias, just the thankfulness. You know, they were given a new family and home and food. And it was kind of funny because they would just pray on and on and on. You could smell the food and just praying on. And on one day, another kid went, amen! You know, amen already. Precious time down there. And I think there's a lot of that where Jay and Kathy are. You know, different circumstances, but, you know, just seeing lives changed. There's a team going, a team coming together. But the St. Vincent Guerrero Orphanage, I think they're part of Foundations for His Ministry. And listen to this, a mission whose purpose is to glorify God, making disciples of Jesus Christ, to share and demonstrate God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit by meeting basic spiritual, physical, and educational needs of those children in Mexico and beyond. You know, God's will was being fulfilled for those orphans and many other orphans in that area. You know, that's what God's will is, to do stuff like that, a mission like that, where those who didn't have, they're given much and given hope in God, in Christ. So how do we see God's will being fulfilled in our life right now? You know, personally and maybe over our lifetime. Well, we could share a story. Maybe you have a testimony. We'd love to hear that. We love to hear testimonies, even through the challenges. How about us? How about for us as a church? Is God's plan for this area taking root in our heart and through our mission? You know, is it bearing fruit? Well, we're going to take a look at Luke 4, 14 through 30. The passage is usually split into two sections. We would have read the first section last week and the second section this week. But always verse 21 is read on both, you know, the two different Sundays, where Jesus stated, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today. His presence. The Lamb of God there in his hometown, just when his ministry was beginning. He was back after a few months' journey. Remember, he was baptized in the Jordan. He was in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil, preparing for ministry. And then in verse 14, it says, in the power of the Spirit, Jesus returned, you know, from the wilderness to Galilee. As news of him spread, he taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. In Nazareth, though, you know, you heard what Peg read. Kind of a harsh ending there. Jesus taken out, maybe dragged out to the end of the city. You know, but he's there in his hometown, his synagogue. But they do praise him at first, though. But then he's rejected, cast out. They were enraged and furious. You know, at first it said, all who spoke well of him were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. You know, Luke has Jesus preach in the form of prophetic grace that day in his hometown church. A particular passage from Isaiah 61, a strange grace, a divine favor. For we know this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, using John's language. He's back home. He cites a scripture of God's amazing grace. And boy, your voices for wonderful grace of Jesus. Don't you just love that song? If it's new to you, you were caught up in it. There was angelic voices going on in here, I tell you. I just love that song. So first, God's grace, God's word is grace-filled. Now, Isaiah 61, 1 through 2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. For God has anointed me. He has sent me, the three me's, for Jesus. You know, hold on to the fact that the three me's are for us as a church, all of Christ's church. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you and fills you. The Spirit of the Lord has sent you and me. So hold on to that one a little bit. But it's all about, you know, God's grace is about a holistic ministry to the poor. Not just handing out a tract and saying, you need Jesus. If not, you know where you're going? And then we tell them where they're going. No, we take care of them. Holistic ministry. And, you know, recovery of sight, you know, spiritual sight. There's a lot of spiritual blindness, and God is giving sight to many, many more in our area. And they're coming to God, coming to Jesus in faith. Captives released from bondage. The oppressed set free. Imagine Jesus standing before us and just saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He has sent me. And He has sent you as a church to release the captives, to free the addicts from the needle and the bottle and the internet, to remove the feeling of worthlessness from the oppressed and depressed, to bring rest to the sleep-deprived parents of babies, to free those imprisoned, to rescue those being trafficked, to give a sense of belonging to all the alienated, to forgive the sinner, to remove all the resentments from those who can't let go of the past. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon His church, He says. Could it be possible? We are His church. Today, this is still being fulfilled, and it can be fulfilled each and every day in our lives, in our towns, outside the church. Do we believe this? Do we doubt it? Do we doubt ourselves, our ability? Well, I can't do that. That's exactly right. We can't. It's not our ministry. It's the Lord's. Or maybe some reject this promise of Jesus. That can't be true now. But this is what's at hand in His hometown. That's what's at stake. As He begins His ministry, He was around in other villages, He comes back home, and He is rejected. So second here, it's not just that God's Word is so grace-filled. And just, you know, imagine that. Wherever He is, wherever He's offered in word and deed, that the grace of God is so present. And it does touch lives. It changes lives. So God's Word is grace-filled. But then second, the teachings of Jesus confront our theology or our beliefs and our practice. You know, it confronts us, as it did in His hometown, those who heard Jesus. See, His mission was to go into the synagogues on the Sabbath, read a text, and then sit down and then teach. He would share. He would expound upon that scripture. So he did that day. A little bit we have the stories and things he said. They wondered at his gracious words. There was certainly wisdom. The authority with which he spoke was greater than any scribe around. But they doubted. Isn't this Joseph's son? You know, you're over in Capernaum. I thought you were a builder here in town. And you're over in Capernaum and we hear news of healing and all this other stuff. You know, they didn't say that to his face. He could read their minds. This is Joseph's son. What? This can't be true. Who does he think he is? That's Joseph's son. But he knows their minds, their skepticism, that he's not welcome as a prophet, verse 24, in his hometown. But he speaks the truth about what has happened in the past. Some of the stories there, if you reread that section. When God's children discard his plan. When the children of Israel were disobedient, serving other gods, serving pagan gods, serving idols. They'd forgotten about God. When they don't believe, when they reject the prophetic voice, most of the prophets were killed. They didn't want to hear it. And he proclaims, even so, what is happening and will continue to happen because his kingdom is breaking in, it's being established. You know, he'll walk away from there that day and the kingdom of God will just keep breaking in. And they missed out, at least that day. They're either with him or against him. He confronts their belief system. And he shares a little story that reveals that in the past, when God's people did go their own way, when they rejected the good news, they were disobedient, they weren't living righteous lives, not keeping the Ten Commandments, that God was still working. Looks like he leaves us on our own. You know, he lets us walk away from him. He lets us live in disbelief. But he's still working. And then he shares this, that a Sidonian widow. A Sidonian. And Naaman, the Syrian. A Sidonian widow was given food and given help. And this foreigner, Naaman, a commander in the Syrian army, was helped. There were widows and lepers in Israel. Our own people in need. They were in the church, and he's helping people outside the church. This enraged the Nazarenes. And that truth almost got Jesus killed that day. But his time was not at hand. The people were filled with rage, and God was passing them by for now, for their unbelief. What did Jesus want, and what does he want? He wants to open up blind eyes. He wants to open up the blind spiritual eyes, theirs and ours, to illuminate the ways that human sin tears at the fabric of all humanity, to allow us to see who we really are, to again glimpse the image of God in ourselves and others, to give us a view of heaven in the here and now, to show us that the kingdom of God is at hand. And we need to align ourselves with it. To show us what it looks like to love who God loves and allow us to see ourselves as God sees us. He loves us. And also the Spirit of the Lord was sent to bring freedom to the oppressed. Who are the oppressed? The overworked, the underappreciated, the last chosen, the unlovely, the despised, the unseen, the overly proud. You can add to the list to bring freedom to the oppressed. You know, maybe that's what our ears would hear. You know, who is God directing us to help? Certainly many here in our midst today, but many outside the walls that are our neighbors. If Jesus were here and he stood, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus would sit down. All of our eyes would be fixed upon him. Even the kids would be quiet, waiting for him to teach. And then Jesus would say, "Stop looking at me. You have all you need. You have everything you need." Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Every day is today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Will fill you, will anoint you, will send you and me every day with words and deeds to fulfill God's plan. There will be fruit. But just like in Nazareth, there's rejection. There's rejection at home. There's rejection in the workplace, in the community. And that's hard when we're rejected, when the good news is rejected. Well, there's a hope-filled example in our text to conclude with, just to remind us, you know, that as we go on our way and lead out in mission, there's good news. You know, it's tapping into the source, of course, the Spirit of the Lord. Aligning ourselves, praying. You know, what is there a battle going on at home? Oftentimes there are in families, extended families, and we're trying to do our best, and you know, people are watching us and we're trying to, you know, be a good example and witness, and sometimes we fail, but more times we're lifted up, you know, at home, the workplace. You know? Oh, how God wants to, we're gonna look next week at the workplace. How God wants to use us in powerful ways. In our school, in our workplace, those of you at college or in high school, even middle school, you ask God to lead you, align you with what he wants to do in your school, and you just watch out. A fire, a spiritual fire will be lit. And even our community. Yeah, let me share this now. You know, I know that Potter's House and has wonderful, faithful group that meets down there. You know, I think we could help with all that. If there was a small group called that felt called to go out on the weekends when it's warmer, of course, and just walk the streets prayerfully, discerning, and just listening, asking how we can help people on the street. Just, you know, maybe they need help. Maybe they stumbled out of a bar. Maybe they need some change. I was at Cumbie's yesterday. And a guy was filling up a big thing of water because his engine, something had happened. He needed water in the radiator. And then he said, "Hey, man, can you give me a cup of coffee?" You know, he just wants a cup of coffee. He's broken down. And just looking into his eyes, he looked like a man that was broken down. And I wondered, why am I in such a hurry today? Well, it was Ulrich's birthday, and I was cooking a beef tenderloin, and it was on and on and on. I had plenty of reasons, but it made me think, what if we took this to the streets? And many of you do. This is really for me, because I kind of hide in the church all day, you know, and I'm in my office, I'm praying, not all day. But it's for all of us to be out there and ask how we can help. Because in the text here, you know, this passage, you consider what they wanted to do to Jesus. Just ending here, a couple minutes. It's a foreshadowing of his death and his resurrection, right? You know, it won't happen for 3 more years in Jerusalem. But it's a witness to the resurrection. The risen life that we too walk in. Because Jesus died and rose again, and he has the Father who sent the Spirit. But here the text speaks in terms of resurrection mystery, if you will. Jesus passed through their midst and went on his way. There's something powerful about that. He didn't smack anybody. they were at him at the edge of the town and going to throw him down. And God just moved him right through, you know, the pushback, right through the rejection, right through the challenge. And how many times are we trying to do something right and there is rejection? Many times there's not, and it's people accept it. It's like, yes. But you know what? There's another level out there where the good news will be rejected. But no, we keep going. God keeps us going. We keep sharing. We keep living. We keep loving. Martin Luther King often quotes Theodore Parker saying this, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." And what that means is there's a healing balm for those in the midst of the struggle, because it signifies a purpose that is larger than our own. This is God's ministry. This is God's plan. And he has a wonderful for us, even though there's a struggle, even though there may be rejection. We can continue on our way, though. Just as he was on his way, he passed through them and went on his way. This is God's amazing grace and good news, a new vision, and being set free and delivered. Let us go offering the same and doing likewise. Amen.